Rowan Payne. I put him on my
through.
Radio show.
Come on through. Welcome back to the Afterthought Podcast.
That's our guy.
We here. This is our guy, Tim Victor. Spinning Tim Victor. Right now. Rowan Payne. Make sure y'all go download that on Apple Music, Spotify. That's our guy, Tim Victor. He was on the show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I am here with the gang, JP. JPZ, what the heezy.
What's good, Joe?
Tiff in the building. How y'all feeling? We're going to start with Tiff. How you feeling, Tiff?
I'm feeling good. I'm well rested. I'm ready for this show. And I'll be working from home starting to, Friday. So I'm happy. Just get the fuck up, keep on my pajamas, brush my teeth, and sit down.
I don't have
to go nowhere.
And is that due to the COVID, or are you just like, no, I'm staying home? Like, this is...
No, well, it's due to COVID, and they had started transitioning people like way back in like March or whatever, July. I don't remember when they started making people go home. And I just never, you know, transitioned over because nobody knew that it would last this long. But... True. You know, it's been 8 months and Layla's been basically home while I'm at work every day. So, you know, she don't have any siblings, just her and the dog. So I'm like, I need to just stay home with my daughter. You know what I mean? So I'm excited about that.
What about you, Jay? How you feeling?
Feeling good. Unlike Tiff, I just got essential clearance for work. So that means they sending me every day to the office.
Okay.
I'll tell you this much though, it's still a blessing for all of us to sit here and talk about how we're still gainfully employed despite all of everything that's happening. So
yes sir,
you know, the one thing we're not going to do is complain. You know, we just blessed and I'm thankful. But
I'm feeling good,
these early wake ups, but I'm still feeling good, feeling refreshed. I'm excited for the show today, coming off
tell me about
holiday.
Your hat.
Yes, perfect. Oh. Perfect question. Go on with it.
You are those middle fingers?
Yeah, all shades. Uh-huh. Of all shades, because we're not about that life. And I think, you know, when I saw it, I was like, yo, I got to get this because
is it someone
this is an
you
important
know?
Message.
Is it an independent artist?
Just
designer?
Some indie joint that I saw, and I was like, yo, I need that.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I like it, too.
So super dope. I was like, you know,
JP always got the drip. JP always got the drip. Any city, any town, the drip is always activated. But yes, we got a dope show for you, you lovely folks at home. Shout out to everybody on Facebook. Shout out to everybody on the Livid tapping in. Our Livid family is in the building. You see the app? You see us out here? We out here doing it, man. We having a good time. I'm enjoying, you know, I put up a post earlier. I don't know if y'all seen it. It was the dude going up the hill, pulling himself up the hill, and you know, there were different people pulling him, trying to pull him down. That was like, you know, strapped to him, and it was like, oh, you know, we don't think you should do it, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I don't want to do this. So it was all these different things stopping this growth from happening. And it really hit me, and I saw it and I was like, I gotta post this. And I just feel like, shout out to anybody, because I know the COVID and the pandemic hasn't been easy, right? I'm totally with that. But I really respect anybody that is still out here grinding through the pandemic, still going after, still finding a way to do their passion, because it's not easy. Even more. So I just felt the need to post that and salute. You know, I know y'all still striving, you know, to do certain things, and the pandemic could just be like, you know what, I'm gonna wait till this shit is over. You know what I'm saying?
It might not ever be over.
But you exactly. There's no going back. Like, when we finish, it's a new normal. There's no going back to normal. Mm-hmm. Like,
we might be all tricked.
Maybe. But I think about momentous times, like after we remember, like
Ryan,
after 9/11, the world was different. Like going on a plane was never this, like There's no going back. Like we remember going on a plane before 9/11, and now we remember what it's like to go on a plane post 9/11. Like,
right.
Those are times, like, certain events or periods in history, you know, the world, like, it's not going to be the same again. Like,
definitely not.
There's going to be a shift, and now we're going to have to get used to living in a new normal. Like, we're going to have to get used to living in a new normal post-COVID.
Yeah.
You have to adjust and adapt real quick.
Pivot. That's the word I've been using.
Or fight the fuck back. But if we don't all stick together as, you know, so that's not going to happen. So, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, now that we're talking about this, I know it's kind of serious, but I'm curious what y'all think about, like, y'all hear all the vaccine talk. You know, all three of, you know, black folk, we know our history. Well, I know the three of us know our people's history somewhat.
We definitely
to sit here
do.
And say,
vaccine? I'm not down with that shit.
I can't get jiggy with that shit. Like, I don't know, jiggy. That ain't it for us.
I don't fuck with vaccines. But the thing is this. They are talking about mandating it.
Okay.
They're talking about mandating it. I just had to fill out a survey asking, you know, all of these questions, how we feel about vaccines. Should it be mandated? Fuck the fuck no. You shouldn't tell anybody what they have to do with their body. That's you know what I mean? And you got one little serum that is supposed to be a one size fits all, and it's fucking not. You know what I mean? That's why some people, you know, it won't affect, and some people it affects in a very negative way, sometimes death, because everybody's DNA is you know, different, and you're injecting people with baby fetuses, and who knows, it might be the chip in this one. You know what I mean? So I'm not with it. And anything that they want to mandate and say we'll give for free, I don't trust that.
Right.
Ain't shit free, especially with Big Pharma.
But
ain't shit free.
Well, I tell you this much though, nothing is free. But you know where we will see it potentially.
But
is in our taxes.
Oh, of course,
we may not see it individually.
Oh, we can be paying for them COVID taxes.
We're going to see it. So it's going to come around one way or the other. I think next week we'll talk about it offline. I'm going to hit up one of my doctor friends.
Yes.
Like, I want a real MD.
I feel you.
But sometimes doctors to come are on. Biased.
And sometimes, but they also, I'll tell you this much though. They know that they take an oath to do no harm.
Right.
I think you have a lot of good doctors out here, just like you have a lot of good nurses out here.
Yeah.
And you also have ones who do subject
themselves. I think that's a dope idea. That's a dope idea, Jay. We definitely.
You can't.
Just, why not?
Not sure he's okay with it.
Yeah, I know. I'm going
to
ask him.
You probably have to give him the line of questions, you know, ask him what we cannot ask.
And I don't think they would have a problem with it. I just think it's good to see someone that looks like us in the medical profession that understands our concerns.
I agree.
And will have no problem speaking on it as to what we should be mindful of, what do's or don'ts are, because we see so much BS getting spread all over Facebook and Instagram. And then I don't know if people really understand or know their rights, what they are or aren't capable of, what they should or shouldn't know, if there's any inside, and if there's any extra information that they may be privy to.
Facts.
Because we gotta be informed. I'm not sitting here saying even after he or she tells us what it is, that we now gonna just be like, okay, shoot me with the needle. Nah. But you know, we need to make sure we have as much information as possible to make the most informed decisions possible. So that we can kind of get a feel for how they giving it up.
I agree.
You know what?
I agree. What you gonna say, Tiff? And then we gonna go to this quick segment before we get Walt on here. But go ahead, Tiff.
My thing with the whole propaganda vaccines is just like, it's a bunch of bullshit to me. Because first of all, once a virus is in your body, it's viral. It doesn't go anywhere. It's like the common cold. You always have the common cold. That don't go away. It just, you know, takes a nap for a little while. You know what I mean? And then it shows up again. So the flu, why do we need to get a flu vaccine every year? The flu is here to stay once you catch it. It's just, it's either going to show up or it's not, depending on your immune system and how you're taking care of yourself. So now you're telling me you're going to shoot a live vaccine in my body so this will combat anything? I don't need a live vaccine. Why are you giving me the virus? But and I'm hoping that my body, you know, fights against it, or hope that it doesn't so I can be sick.
And you know, to your point, I have another guest. Shout to my peoples over at Cognac and Ken.
Yeah.
Who is a real chemist doing work with COVID.
I say bring them all on.
Cancer research. And I want the people who are in the labs as well as the medical professionals I think she would be more free to speak on these things.
Yeah.
Because that is something that if people know, we can really get an idea, like, yo, I know the person that's in here watching how they're giving it up and who's really trying it.
Yeah.
So that there's no, like, I hate to assume.
Right.
Because we all have been, the fact is that we as a people, we've been so traumatized from our history and knowing, like, everything. Nobody rushing to take no vaccine.
And I think that's the best thing to get somebody on. I think we get somebody on and let the people feel that. I ain't going front. Like, I think that's something that.
That's it.
So I wanna say this. We definitely got to do that. We got room next week. You already know we got room. So
yeah,
but it's the holiday, and we'll go and we'll plan ahead. Shout out to everybody tapping in on Livid on Facebook Live. We here live on Facebook, the Afterthought Podcast. Your man Joe Hill, Tiff Tonto, and JP, and we got a special guest coming in a few. Our guy, Walt Miller from VH1's Black Ink Crew. Shout out to him. He's going to be coming on here. We're going to be talking about the industry, reality TV. You know, get to know him more off, you know, in and out of TV, but also comedy. A lot of people don't know this, but Walt is on his comedy grind. I've been working with him for a few years already, and I've seen the growth, and I think he has a lot of potential in comedy as well. And he's a dope dad, so stick around. We're going to be bringing him in a few, but I got to talk about this next segment right here. We all seen everything that's been going down with Dave Chappelle. The Unforgiven series that he put out. Not the series, the special, what have you. And, you know, I'm always critical of every comedian. I'm going to be honest. Like, especially, you know, JP, we go at it. And I really feel like, one, I'm with Dave. One, I'm with Dave, because one, it ain't right. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, Dave is definitely changing the game. I'm gonna definitely give him that. I respect Dave. But on the other hand, on the contrary, at the same time, with everything going on in the climate of the country right now, there's motherfuckers that don't even got Netflix that ain't even watching this shit right now. I'm gonna be honest. There's people that are dealing with way bigger issues in the world. And I feel like it's kind of selfish, in my opinion, at the same token, to focus on you right now. You know what I'm saying? To tell people, yo, don't watch it, don't do this. I get it. A bad deal went down. You know what I'm saying? You was younger. We all know the story, but I'm just saying, like, there's about 70 million people that really don't give a shit about a millionaire's problem right now. I'm gonna be honest. Like, so, like, I'm not saying it in a hateful type of way or because, you know, I post things. I'm critical of a lot of things, just on the bigger picture. You know what I'm saying? I can't control a millionaire's problems right now. Nope, none of us can right now. You know what I'm saying? But it does beg the question of ownership. Do we own our stuff out the gate when we starting out? You know what I'm saying? And when we are working out deals, are we having somebody there with us? I'm talking now. I'm not talking about back then, because like I said, that happened 30 years ago. We can't go back and change it. Dave is just shedding to light. But I want to ask y'all, ownership. How do y'all feel about artists and owning our rights to stuff right now, coming into the game? I mean, Jay,
I think that that's something that you need to do when you are first coming in. I think it's important to just stay independent. That way no one ever owns and there's never a struggle, you know, and it's never a, damn, you got way too big, so now I'm going to kill you because you want ownership, you want to own everything, and, you know, now you want to expand. And no, we own you, and you want to own something? No. So yeah. I don't think that it was selfish on Dave's part, only because he always addresses what's going on currently, you know, with whatever's going on in the world. And I just look at Dave as a teacher, you know what I mean? He's an educator, and he's a very wise man. And yes, that may be what he talked about how they jerked him on his contract, or him being naive and not understanding how to read his contract and go into the deal the right way. I think that maybe at that level, it's like, okay, a lot of us is not working out those deals, so it's not really applicable, but it really is, because you're working out deals in HR, you know, on your job, and just to understand how handle yourself and how people, and don't let people handle you. So I think it's a good information for all of us on all levels when we are going in trying to, you know, gainfully get what is ours, and don't be screwed over. So I think he's like taking a stand, like, listen, fuck that. Whether it was written in the contract or not, that's some shiesty shit to say. You're going to work for me and you're going to do all this, and guess what? This is mine forever. And we're going to use it, and we're going to dangle it in your face, and we're going to put it everywhere and not pay you. So,
a la Nick Cannon.
Go ahead, Jay.
Here's
the thing that I think we have to be mindful of. The one thing when you mentioned Nick Cannon and you mentioned Dave Chappelle that they both have in common, who their issues are with, are with Viacom Corporation. It's understanding how big the machine is, like you said. Viacom and CBS are partners. Viacom owns a lot of the networks, and is dictating distribution rights to a lot of these shows. Their point is that we own VH1, BET, all the MTVs, all the other VH1s, Comedy Central.
That was a great segment. I want to say Walt just walked in the building. That was a great, when you said
Walt understands. He's a part of that Viacom machine too.
Let's bring him in.
We can ask him about that, but I'm
saying we're going to definitely segue. That's why I said, JP, your timing was on right now. That's what you said.
You know what? Also, to JP's point, like everything you just said, we got to think about it too. Everybody is just one video, one piece of content away from being on any of those networks. You know what I mean? So this is not like back in the days where you really had to put your foot in, you know what I mean, and hope that you know somebody. Not to say that everybody on social media is not working as hard as everyone else, but it's different, you know what I mean? So your chances are higher to get like, look at Jess Hilarious. She was Instagram famous, and then now she's just doing her thing. So she's probably and works with those same networks. So this is good information to know.
But she's been waiting to do a distribution deal. Like, the thing we have to understand as far as ownership goes is that how your arrangements and contracts are set up can all vary. Like, some people can be signed to the corporation. Some people can say, I own X, Y, or Z entity, and I'm looking for a distribution deal. Kind of like what
Jay-Z did. Well, listen, I got to cut you off because we got Wall here. I got to cut you. I hate to do it. No problem. He's here. But let's bring him in the right way. Let's bring him in the right way. Ladies and gentlemen, our brother, our comedy comrade, make some noise. After Thor Podcast is live with our guy, Walt Miller. Make some noise.
Let's go. Let's go.
What's good?
What's going on?
Look at him. Look at him.
What up, though? First off, you see my backdrop. I was gonna say I'm gonna set you up like this. I'm representing my brand tonight, baby. Let's go.
This is my guy. Talk to us. Happy. How was your Thanksgiving? How were you doing?
My Thanksgiving was amazing. It was good. I chilled with my family. Oh, I was good. Yeah, I told you. I'm live. I'm in the streets. I'm in the streets right now. I'm gonna change my backdrop so y'all can see. I'm really in these streets right now.
He's really live for real.
He's really live. I love it. Shout out to everybody on the streets.
I'm in these streets. Look, I'm in these streets.
Amazing studio.
Today, all day today, I've been filming earlier today, and I've been.
All right. Go back to the background. Go back to the lace background.
I'm here. Let's walk. What's up? What are we doing?
All right, listen. This is what we're doing. Your Thanksgiving was good. You are a dope individual. I want to ask you this. Let's get right into it. Let's write it right into it. What was your spark for getting on Black Ink? I want to start from there, and then we're going to circle back to the comedy and fatherhood. But let's get right into, you know, folks
right,
know you. So how'd you get that started?
One thing people got to understand is that the original cast, like myself and a few others, we were a shop since 2007. You know what I mean? Black Ink was a tattoo parlor since 2007. We didn't plan on being on TV. A lot of people think that this was like some like Love and Hip Hop shit. And it's no disrespect to any of these shows, but we weren't like a casted show. We just so happened to be in the right situation at the right time where the right people knew who we were and was like, yo, we know this network that wanna, they looking for shows and they, you know what I mean? We think y'all be a dope fit. Like, that's really how it worked out. Like, it wasn't like we casted or we would like audition for anything. Like, people came to us and said like, yo, y'all niggas are fire. We like how what y'all doing, how y'all doing, the way y'all do it, and they just wanted to be a part of it. And
part of the culture.
Like, yeah, whatever. We literally laughed it off. Because again, we were just trying to do what we do. Like, we just found a way to live the way we wanted to live, but be legit with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's all it was. Like, that's all it was we were trying to do. We just wanted to just be who we were, but be legit with it. We didn't want to be in these streets. We didn't want to do none of that dumb shit. And fortunately, it worked out to where people was like, yo, we like y'all. We want to put some cameras in your face. And that's what happened. And here we are. We about to, I started my first day of my ninth season. So
clap it up. Clap it up for
Clap it up. I want to say today. I started my ninth day of my first day of my ninth season today. So yeah,
I'm gonna give it.
Still fucking with us, Stacey. Y'all still love us. I don't know what it is. Hold on.
Look at that face.
It's crazy ass.
I want to give it to the co-host Tiff and JT.
Y'all still love us, baby. Y'all still love us.
Tiff, get in there, Tiff. Ask him something. Come on, get in there, Tiff.
All right, so I want to know how, like, before you became a reality TV personality, what was your thoughts about reality TV versus what it is now, nine seasons in?
Reality TV was entertaining, but I didn't know how real or how fake it was. The only thing that I was, like, as far as reality TV, it's two things. Like, when I was really like getting into like the real world and all that other shit, like, you look at the the incident with the dude, what was his name? Pedro, that had AIDS and stuff like that, and he really like sold his life
throughout
the whole process up until he passed away, unfortunately. Like, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. You know what I mean? And really showing it. And then when I seen the other incident with Tammy, that, you know, who is in basketball-wise now, but back then she was on The Real World where she got my guy, my guy Dave, you know, Stinky from House Party 3. She got my nigga Dave kicked off the show. So, you know what I mean? Like,
that fight was crazy.
Things about reality TV, when I was introduced to it, I've always kept it with me to where, like, I have to make sure that I'm me. You know what I mean? So it's like, regardless of the good or the bad or the ugly, people gonna get to know me, because at the end of the day, I have to walk around the streets and own everything that I give them on these TV. So those things about reality TV, I already, definitely, trust me, I know it's a lot of shit that a lot of these people deliberately do for clout.
This
shit, but at the end of the day, I take those moments that I really saw that was like genuine and really official and make it part of what I contribute to this whole reality TV thing.
To the culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how much?
Go ahead, Tiff.
To that point.
No, go ahead, Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
Being in the game, like you said, 9 seasons and you've been doing your comedy thing.
Nine seasons, baby. Woo!
Y'all all be out in the streets. So y'all are real tangible.
It's the Kardashians. That's the only people fucking with us, the Kardashians. And Nick.
If you uptown,
Nick is off, but Nick and Kardashians is the only people that was fucking with us longer than us.
But I'm gonna tell you this much though. To that point, I wonder, do you have ideas or thoughts about like producing or putting your own content together? Because now that you, like I said, you outside, people see
man,
you.
Listen.
You see how this TV game works.
You know how much content that I have, that I've been writing, like, that I have been.
That's all I want to hear about.
That I've been definitely using everything that I've been learning from being on, you know what I mean, the front end of the camera to how I'm gonna do it on the back end of it. Trust me. I've been working on stuff. I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to talk about it now, but definitely, of course, that's all the way to work. It wouldn't make any sense if I'm not. That's not what I'm thinking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, agree.
Come on now. Like, how can you not be in this platform and not want to utilize it and capitalize on it? You know what I mean? So definitely, I have a lot of things in works that I'm, especially because now, you know what I mean? You know, Joe, you know, this is my guy. We do this comedy thing. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things that I have in works that.
Facts. I want to ask you this though. When you first got on, did we lose him?
No. We didn't. You didn't lose him.
So did we lose him? Teddy Riley. I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this, and then I'm gonna go back to Jay and Tiff again. And then we got a few more, and then we're gonna get you out of here. But I got a question with comedy. You've gotten to comedy at a time. Well, one, you came in before the COVID, a couple years in before the COVID. You know what I'm saying? So I say this: when you came into comedy, the game was changing. You know, there weren't many reality star.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm starving. Don't do that.
I love it. First of all, if you watching this, you see what's happening live on the set right now. This is how we got to do it. So Walt, I'm gonna ask you this though. In comedy, when you first started out, how did people perceive you when they heard you was doing stand-up comedy?
To be honest, a lot of the comics that I've met, not you, Joe.
Right.
But a lot of comments that, like, you know what I mean, when they heard that I was on the bill or they heard that I was in the, you know what I mean, doing what I was doing, they were skeptical because, unfortunately, it's a lot of dudes that come from TV or whatever entity that they are known for and come in this comedy game and disrespect it and feel entitled and feel what you call it. So I had to really earn my stripes. So it was like a lot of shows that I was doing folks was like, at the beginning, like, oh, word, this is TV nigga. He la la la. But at the end of the show, oh, yo, you was mad funny. Right. Yo, that joke right there. You know what I mean? So it's like, we got to work. Let's work. Now I'm exchanging info with them. It's like, you know what I mean? And it's like, comedy has always been something that I've always wanted to do. So it's never been anything that, this is one of the main reasons why it took me so long. Because I've never wanted to disrespect it. I've never wanted to disrespect the craft. I've never wanted to play it like it was some bullshit, because this is something that I really cherish. This is something that I grew up on. I grew up on Eddie Murphy. Like, Eddie Murphy's whole career in the 80s, I have on collection still to this day. I still have the old DVDs and VHSs. I still have them. Like, I collected those. All his Saturday Lives. Everything that he did in the 80s, I have him. Martin, from everything Martin did, and you know what I mean? From
inspiration, yeah.
I say what? What?
91?
On.
Oh, yeah. I got
have
you.
Him.
I got you.
With Martin, even when Martin was on Good Times, people don't even understand. Remember when Martin was on Good Times? Yeah. Martin was on Good Times. I even have those in the stats. Like, I really like. Studied this game. Like, I've literally, my whole life has like built up to the moment that I was eventually put on a stage,
right?
You know what I mean? So it was like, literally, like, I've never played with this craft. This is why to this day, like, Joe, you tell me, you confess, I would do a free show. I don't care, because it's like, I just want to just get my work out there.
I don't say this. But the first day I saw you, and shout out to everybody on the Facebook Live, my livid folks watching.
Yeah, we
got Walt Miller from Black Ink on VH1. Season 9. Season 9. We're going to be saying that. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to go back to the co-host, because I know they got one more question. When I first met you, you came to my room in Harlem. Right. And what you did was something, it was so dope. You came and you did some Batman shit. You literally was in the cut. You wore something dark. I think you had like a dark hoodie on or some shit. Look, no brand, like, so nobody could see. And he stood in the corner. He was there with people, but he did it in such a graceful way where he didn't want to be a distraction to the game or disrespect it. That's why I had to break it down like that. And from that day we spoke, and it's been a couple years we've been working together. I don't
even want to be introduced like, you seen him on Black Ink. I don't want
that. Right. I know.
That. I take this comedy thing serious. I appreciate that y'all recognize me and people know me from the show. Of course, for the last 8 years of my life. So, but at the same time, with this comedy thing, I just want folks to understand that this is me. This is all I wanted to do. Season 9 probably going to be about like 60-70% of what. It's the comedy side, because I don't want to do anything. This is really me. So I appreciate people like you, Joe, that's put me in the position to be where I get more comfortable. Yo, walk. You know what I mean? You, at the shows, you pull me to the side.
You know how I am. You know how I am.
Mm-hmm. Yo, walk. Work with that. Run with that. Stuff like that, that means a lot.
That means a lot.
It helps out. Like, seriously, because especially because it's only been December... The 18th will make 2 years.
Yep.
Professionally. Yep. That I've always been a jokester. But the 8th, you know what I mean? The December will make, you know what I mean? A couple of weeks from now will make 2 years officially that I've been doing this. So it's been good. But since day one, Joe, you've been pulling me inside. Yo, what? Nigga, that shit you said about the woman. Me and my lady, we've been. So you've always been that one that. One of the few that has always been, you know what I mean, informative as far as how I can move with this thing and how I can really, you know what I mean, make it my thing and not worry about whether you don't like it or not. You told me to be like, well, stick with what you know. Trust me, it's working. So, you know what I mean? I appreciate
you build it. Somebody's going to like it. You know, that's how comedy is. Somebody's going to like it. You know what I'm saying?
Up on like people talking about their real life, like you know what I mean? Eddie Martin, even with like Kevin Hart, like they talk about their real life, you know what I mean? Like I love people that can, you could be relatable to and or in all aspects, not just one, but in all. Like, yo, yeah. I mean, I've had people come to me after shows and be like, yo, what? You? Girl, talking about my life. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and all the dude, wait, hold on. The dudes that just walked in the background, they was like, what the hell's going on?
They can walk by like.
But nah, but JP, get in there, Jay. Get in there, Jay. No.
I wanna piggyback off of something he said. Like, I'm gonna give you your flowers first, then I'm gonna ask the question. Cause one thing you've done, which I do respect, is you be outside. I seen you at my fam. I seen you. I didn't get to speak to you. I was out early. You came up to Yonkers Comedy Club and did Desi joint. Shout out to Des Comedy.
Yes, sir.
And I know, and that's my fam. Joe's my fam. And I'm gonna tell you this much. The one thing that I've heard from everyone, and I saw when I seen you up there, is you give it how you give it. It's no bullshit. You're not out here fronting. Right. You outside. So I really respect that. I wanted to ask you this as well. When you talk about the things that you're dealing with, the things that happen in your life, you know, you intersect everything. Stuff from TV, stuff from your personal life, fatherhood, all of these things. You talked about your influences. I think I really want to know, what is it that you are now finding, or what is it that you're taking in as inspiration, or what's feeding you? Like, what are the outside things that are feeding you potentially to help say, you know what, I'm gonna help take this shit here. Like, I've just been doing it, like, and it's good, but
like, you know, like Nina Simone, like her, one of my favorite quotes from Nina Simone, she was like, as an artist, is like, I do it to like reflect the time. So it's like, just real life shit. That's where I'm taking everything from, is like, really like just real life shit. I don't try to like bullshit. I've learned to just, my thing is like, what's worked for me is just been speaking the truth. It'll be something that I personally have been going through, but I've learned to like make it more generalized to where like anybody can relate to it. This is one of the main reasons why, like, Joe will pull up to me at the end of a show. Nigga, everything that I've been saying in my shows, I've lived through, Joe. But you can sit here and hit me with like, yo, what? Me and my lady, like, literally, y'all, like, it's been times when Joe has come up to me and
that's
said, like,
fact.
Me and my lady are going through this right now.
Like, that's real shit.
This is things that I was saying that, like, I've really experienced, but I don't want to put my lady on the front street, but I've learned to generalize it to where, like, it's just everybody, like, that's who's what it is, and I appreciate of that folks, like, really, like, fuck with me on that level, because this is what I just want to do, like, anything from my life to my career to my kids. I've just learned from the grace to learn how to, like, put it in that perspective to where, like, everybody can fuck with it, and then I've been enough to work with people like Joe and, you know what I mean, Kate Smith and a lot of other folks that just really just anytime they can, they want to like, yo, Walt, this is what I think you should do, blah, 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 blah. And I take all that. I don't never, like, listen, the TV shit, I've been doing that for a minute. And that helps with what I'm doing now, but I don't never move like, oh, I know everything about this comedy shit. I know everything about, you know what I mean? Like, but these folks, my guys, they've been doing this for a minute. The same amount of time I've been on TV, they've been doing this comedy. So I'm new to this comedy shit. I don't care about that TV shit when I come to this comedy shit. And I be having people ask me like, yo, what? How you want me to introduce you? You want me to talk about the show? I don't care about the show. Bro, just talk about whatever you know of me, of this comedy shit, talk about, I care about. Like, literally. Like, I just want folks to know, like, this comedy thing is what I'm all about. TV is one hat I wear. Photography is one hat I wear. Comedy.
Yeah.
I got clothing line. It's so many different hats.
Fire clothing line. Shout out to Lace. So,
Yo, I was gonna. Can we talk about that? Can we hear about that?
I want to go to Tiff because I know. Hey, I know he gonna shout it out before he get out of here. So we gonna save save that best one. But Tiff, anything you want to ask him? Now I know. Go ahead, Tiff.
Tiff looking so nonchalant. She's so cozy.
Go ahead, Tiff.
On right now, she is cozy.
Very cozy. So I have a question. I want to know, because you have always been a fan of comedy from, you know, the greats, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, and everything. And now coming into comedy professionally, what's your approach with the climate on the sensitivity levels right now? Well, everybody is so sensitive. You like to talk about real life shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Those are the shows, and that's the content that I enjoy the most. Because I like real shit. So what's your approach? Because Dave Chappelle says he don't apologize for shit. So what's your approach?
I'm a Dave energy. Like, I don't give a fuck about what people feel. You know what I mean? Like, I talk about what I want to talk about, the way I want to talk about it, how I want to talk about it. And that's that. Like, I mean, to be honest, like, I really don't care. Eventually, I'm going to talk about that people's going to understand, because it's like, again, I'm going to make it relatable and make it about me. I have a lot of shit. The shit that Dave Chappelle talk about, nigga, I got that in my family. I got all of that. All of that fly shit he talk about, I have that in my family. And I have So it's like, people don't even understand. Like, I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. Like, that's life shit. Like, everybody in this world could relate to the stuff that he talks about. But it's just that some people just fake sensitive. People want equality when it comes to, you know what I mean, rights and all that other stuff. But then they want to be excluded when it comes to being talked about. Fuck out of here. Equality means all around, bitch. All around, fucker. You know
including
what I mean?
Including you,
bitch.
Including you.
All the fuck around. That well means said, you Walt. Talked about too. That means you get talked about, right? Talked about too.
I did. So I have another question. So what's your what do you think about the Mike Tyson fight?
Oh,
Mike won.
Mike won. Thank you.
Mike won.
They gave us the rules beforehand. They said they wasn't going to declare a winner, so I'm not mad. They said that, like, they gave the rule. Yeah. They said, no knockouts, none of this, 2 minute, 8 minute, 8 rounds. They gave all the rules. So I knew they wasn't going to declare a winner, but everybody know Mike busted ass and Roy was going to.
Yo,
go ahead, Jay.
All right, nigga. Whoa.
All I'm going to tell you is this, though, Walt. Same thing I'm going to tell Joe. Just keep knocking these niggas out with these jokes. And they could start doing these Nate Robinson challenges, so they'd be so like.
I mean, you know, the best part of the fight. Listen, hold on. The best part of the fight for me was Snoop Dogg. The shit
Snoop was funny as hell.
Two things you can't do. Two things you can't do. You can't play with boxing, and you can't play with this pimping.
When he said that shit,
I laughed my ass off.
Snoop as a commentator was genius. He was funny, he was very entertaining, he gave you your money's worth
because the performance like to have that type of energy that the uncles your grandmother the kids know.
You know how these young niggas they be doing they be rapping over they recording
straight Snoop. You heard that motherfucker. Do it through.
And about that, Snoop ain't do no voiceovers, nothing.
Yeah.
Straight Snoop.
Yeah. I want to ask you this before we get you out of here. And then I want you to promote all your shit coming up.
Out if y'all want, but I'm cooler.
All right. Look, let me say this. On all seriousness, I know you outside, you chilling. You are a dope dad. I see you.
Thank you, you know
how it is with me and family. Always. You know, balance is key. You know, finding time for the lady, finding time for the kids. Whatever yeah. you're doing, you're doing it well. And I want to say, as a father, how does that drive you as a successful businessman? And when I say that, like what does it do to you, you know, knowing that you got, you know, people dependent on you, you know what I'm saying? On top of setting an example. And I wanted you to talk, because at the end of the day, we fathers at the end of the day. Tip is a parent, you know what I'm saying? I'm a father and I'm big on that, you know, right. you know, being there. So for me, you know, I wanted to ask him that always, that real shit. Like, how does that inspire you being a father? How does that help you in your grind being a dad?
It really just helps me, because the whole goal is to make sure that these kids don't repeat what we did. You know what I mean? What we have to go through. And it's like being a dad and being a businessman and doing what I'm doing and making sure that everything is done right. It's just a beautiful thing that, you know what I mean? Fortunately, I've been able to like stop all that generational curse shit on the first hand. Like just recently, just like in August, I just, you know, my son, he just turned 16. They live out, him and my oldest daughter, my oldest mm-hmm. son and my daughter, they live out in Illinois with their mom. You know, I've shared a lot of shit on the show. So people see let them go live with their mom and all that stuff. But yeah, he just turned 16. I just went out there and bought him a car. My son got
That. That was dope.
You know what I mean? I don't even drive. My son got a car though. He's 16. I'm 39. I don't got a car, but my son do. You know what I mean? So it's like, literally, my son owned his own car. My nigga driving. He pushing his whip at 16.
I'm scared. My daughter is 16, and I'm scared to let her drive.
I don't know nobody from where I've been from, what I grew up in. Like, literally, I made my oldest cousin cry. He was like, nigga, you broke a curse that our family ain't never had. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just all about certain things like that I'm all right with, you know? My youngest, he's 7. You know what I mean? Y'all seen him born on the show. Unfortunately, things wasn't right.
God bless him, young king.
We good now. We on good terms.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean? Literally. You know? So, he's doing well and all that shit. Like, it's just all about making sure that these kids don't have to grow up. Like, my kids will pull up on the pantry line and be like, daddy, what's that? My 16-year-old don't know what a pantry line is.
That means a lot.
I grew up on a pantry line.
Yeah, me too. And I want one. Again, I want the cheese.
Yep.
Like, shit like that, I'm okay with. You know what I mean? Like, literally, I'm in front of the car with my son. He just bought a car. Like, I bought him a car. Like, that's beautiful shit. I don't worry about none of that other bullshit that life try to throw at me when I know my son ain't never gonna live the life I live. My oldest, he set an example. My daughter looking forward to her car next year. That's beautiful. I think that is like, we need to normalize bougie black kids.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, I don't give a fuck about what people say. I love that my kids don't know about this poverty. I love that my kids don't know about poverty.
That's the realest shit I used to tell Nate. I ain't even going front, yo.
We need to normalize luxury for us.
I love that my kids are privileged. They don't know about poverty. I love that my daughter knows she getting a car next year. That's fire. That's fire. That's so dope. Like, that is the dopest shit in the world. Like, I want us to normalize bougie black kids. I want us to normalize our kids not worrying about, you know what I mean, anything that we ever had to worry about. You know what I mean? Like, literally. Yeah. It's not. I'm not saying like pacifying them. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Let me clear this up, because a nigga would take that clip and run with it. I'm not saying pacifying them and not teaching what life is all about. But at the same time, I'm all for our kids not knowing about that poverty. I'm all for our kids not knowing about that struggle. My kids don't know struggle. They could never say they got it from the mud. No, they didn't, nigga. Your pops got it from the mud. You ain't never.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
Yo,
I
Walt.
Got it out of the mud.
I want to ask you this, which I ask all of our comedian friends that come on here.
Yeah.
You talk about producing, you putting things together. If yes. you could put your, if you could put together your own bill, a five comedians, who are the five that you want to be on that bill with?
Ooh.
Five other people and yourself that you want to be on the
five
bill with.
Five other people and yourself. Don't matter the order, though.
Don't matter the order, just five people.
All right, right now.
Why did he step away? Yeah, if y'all watching on Facebook, that was some funny shit. He just walked back.
Right, relax.
You uptown with it?
Yeah, it's five people, just five. That I want to
on. It's a show.
We do
it's
this.
A one
night show. Yo, what? Joe, you gotta tell him we do this.
All right, listen, five. That's it.
Work with right now that I would do a show with, literally. And it's not because I'm on a show with him, but I literally would do a show with Joe. I literally would do a show with my guy, K. Smith. I would do a show with my guy, Marcus Banks. I would do a
Shout out to Banks.
With my guy, Smokey Suarez. And then I'm on a show.
Okay.
I think we got to make that show happen.
That show will be one of the funniest shits y'all ever saw in your life.
I got a feeling we could make that happen.
I never seen a Walt live.
Well, no. Hold up. Tiff is from Harlem. Originally. Hold on. Tiff is from Harlem.
What?
Yo, Walt, she from Harlem.
Joe, Hey Smith, Marcus Banks, and me? You crazy. I will host it. So these niggas can go and do what they do. I will host it and let all these niggas do what they do, and then I got Smokey Suarez as the OG close it out. You bugging. My show will be fire.
All right, can you give me your Mount Rushmore?
In a project. I grew up
Wait. Can you give me your...
All right.
Your Mount Rushmore now.
My Mount Rushmore, listen. Yep. I'm going to let you know right now, this is my. I don't give a fuck what nobody say.
Put your hand up to the sky.
My Mount Rushmore. Eddie Murphy. Martin Lawrence. Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy. Martin Lawrence. Jerry Seinfeld. And I would have to say,
you got to give me a female also after this. You got to give me a female. I'm just one. So you can name this one, but you got to give me your all-time female too. Give me your all-time female. We got him on the spot. Afterthought what? Podcast. No, Walt is stuck right now.
What's my... I don't know why. I'm high.
George Carlin. Oh, George Carlin, right?
With the gray hair?
Yeah, George Carlin.
That's my Mount Rushmore. Those four really inspired me, everything I wanted to do with Carlin. Because George Carlin, he touched on the political side, religious side, everything. He was literally not afraid to say, these people were not afraid to be them. Listen, I get you the Red Fox, I give you the Richard Pryor, but I'm talking about my generation. I'm an 80s baby, I'm an 81 baby. I grew up on Eddie Murphy, okay? This nigga was only like 22 years old and delirious, okay? I grew up on them. Those are the niggas I grew up on 83.
Mm-hmm, me too. Mm-hmm.
My family had me in front of those cameras, those shows early in life. I grew up on that. Martin Lawrence, when he came in, the funniest
thing. You're so crazy, that was Def my Jam. Shit.
Oh, so Def Jam, what? Martin is
Yeah, those Def Jam days was different. I got all those VHS. I got all the Def Jam All Stars. Martin was killing it.
Different nigga. He taught how to just really just be witty and not have to curse and be funny. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Facts.
You know what I mean? And then George Carlin, like I said, he was just the one that was political, and he touched on things that I've learned about myself in these later years of my life, you know what I mean, in my 30s, that now I can learn to incorporate in my comedy, you know what I mean, if and when I want.
Mm-hmm.
So, those
who's your female?
Female?
Relax. Take a step back.
He wants to think about that mac and cheese. Because he been holding it and put your hands and shit. He like, I don't know what you're hand to put the God. I got to think about it.
I'm Monique and some more. Because yes. Monique, and you go back, I'm a OG fan. I remember Snaps when Monique smoked my nigga Tracy Morgan boots.
Oh, bodied yeah.
Bodied him.
Your mama so old.
Bodied him.
The powder out the...
With the powder shit, she killed them, Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
That's Monique's joke. Monique did that. Powder come out her... That was Monique's joke. You know what I mean? Like, and she smoked my nigga Tracy lived. I'm from the Bronx, 1924 Lauren Place. Tracy Morgan literally used to live 1901 Lauren Place. If you go back to his Saturday Night Live days where he did his character, Dominican Lou was from 1901 Lauren.
Oh wow.
If you look at his characters from Saturday Night Live, like literally. Tracy was from my block. When Monique smoked his boots, he couldn't come back to the block for a minute.
He couldn't. You just got smoked on TV,
by, fam. By girl.
Yo, it was beautiful though, but it was also a big thing when he got on Martin and was Hustle Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the people that I grew up under. Like, literally, I grew up under Tracy.
Yeah.
Like, he from my... Yeah. I'm from 1924 Lauren Place. Tracy was literally on the corner, 1901. Yeah. The same...
No, Tracy Morgan's from the Bronx.
He took out... But he grew up on the Bronx. Biscuit,
he did.
Uptown Comedy Club, all that shit. He was in the Bronx doing all that. When he got on Mark, he was in the Bronx doing all that shit. When he was on Def Jam... He was in the Bronx doing it. He was on my block. So I don't give a fuck what nobody say when Tracy took that Brooklyn shit. That was a Bronx nigga when he was
doing it. I'm going to say this. He just dropped a crazy gem here on the Afterthought podcast. Those that didn't know, shout out to everybody on Live It Facebook Live. Before we get you out of here, tell us what you got coming up. I know it's the pandemic. Talk about the lace gear. Let's get right to that. And where can they find you?
I got my lace garments. Y'all can check everything out. It's on my Instagram, TheWizard, DA_WIZRD. Yes, lace garments is in full effect. I got tees, hats, hoodies. You know what I mean? We got the winter gear coming out soon. The jackets, sweatsuits, all kinds of fly shit, even thermals. We got underwear, all kinds of shit coming out soon. The comedy... It's always in full effect. What Made Me Laugh is always in full effect. I'm getting back into filming season 9 of Black Ink Crew, so we about to start doing that. So y'all could be paying attention to everything I got going on my page.
You need some background work. Let me know. I could do some background work.
DA_WIRD. I still do my photography. What took my photo. I still do all of that shit. I'm doing everything. I'm even doing home renovation right now. I've been renovating people's homes, painting people's homes.
I might have to talk to you offline.
All kinds of hats on, man. Like,
I might have to talk to you offline about that. Seriously.
Yo.
My nigga Hov, he about to celebrate his birthday Friday. When is my favorite quote from Sagittarius? Hustle can't pose, but hustle music. But hustle hard at any hustle that you pick. Like, literally, I'm all kinds of hustles, man. That's just what it is. That's what I'm trying to do. It's, you know?
I appreciate you standing outside the bodega.
I'm so jealous about that food.
Rocking with us. Listen.
So tip, right?
I appreciate you.
Like, nah, nigga. You got to
I'm hungry.
Yo,
gotta listen.
I appreciate you.
Appreciate
I love
y'all.
You, my brother. You always been a genuine brother, and you always support what we're doing. Whether it's the podcast, Afterthought, performing at a show. When these streets open up in New York, like we need them to,
they open up outside back again. We are going, full force.
Yes.
You are going to Voltron. So, and really hit
them
hard.
Yes.
Make sure y'all follow him. Walt Miller. That's our brother. Show him a round of applause for coming on the show. That's my guy.
Appreciate you, my guy.
And if you need, if you need some background work on season 9, just I could be opening the door at a Black Ink. I could just be the nigga opening the door. Nigga.
Yes. Come and get a tattoo.
Oh, listen, I got to go tomorrow in Long Island. They want to do some B-roll. If y'all want to pull up and y'all could be...
I'm back in New York tomorrow. I'll be back in New York tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I'm in Cali right now, so...
Y'all can pull up.
Okay.
If y'all in New York... No, seriously, they really trying to take advantage of what I'm trying to do this season with the comedy. So
God bless it. Yeah, hell yeah.
Pull up. This is the first of many, you know.
Damon laughs, crab legs in comedy. He's in Long Island tomorrow. Make sure y'all you in town.
I'm in Long Island tomorrow. Crab legs in comedy with Damon laughs. I got my man Marcus McNeil, and I got my guy Mark Gregory. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Stop
talking my shit all night long. Like,
that's our guy. Show some love one more time for Walt Miller. We appreciate you. I'll see you soon, homie. I'll see you soon, my brother.
Love y'all.
Love you too, bro.
Good looking out, Walt.
Thank you.
That was great. With the outside the bodega, with the soul,
with the collard greens and the motherfucking.
Bro, he had the whole with the 102 bus running behind him like every 5 minutes. I'm like,
had the drug dealers like, "What's going on? He making our block hot right now."
Yo, that is so.
Making our block hot. But if you tuning in right now on Livid, on Facebook Live, we just have Walt Miller from VH1's Black Ink Crew. Check them out on season 9 coming back. My brother's been on there. Shout out to Caesar. You know the homie Caesar. You already know what it is.
He be outside all the time. Live on Lennox. We see, you know, we used to see them coming out of brunch a few times.
Oh, we did. We definitely did that time. And I was like, yo. Where y'all going? Y'all should have came from this brunch.
Yeah, y'all should have pulled up. Good times.
That's a fact. But nah, good times tonight. And that's it.
Yeah, he was fun.
That's it, really.
Yeah.
You know, another dope show tonight. I shout out to Janelle. I appreciate you. I see you out here in these streets. You know, she's a up and coming comedian. You know, she's down in Atlanta. She's a New York native. She's been tuning in, enjoying the show. She said, "What up to y'all?" We out here, man. And we are doing it. Afterthought Podcast. Walt Miller just came through with the crazy energy. That's my guy. So yeah. Other than that, you ain't got to go home. You know what I'm saying? But before we do that, we got to close this thing, right? Tell them where to find y'all. Tell them what you got going on.
JP.
Do all that good stuff. Let's pay the bills, like they say on the radio. Let's pay the bills. All right.
You can find me at JPC, the number 2KLUB. Mm-hmm. Again, Joe, we got to finish with the sponsors because the sponsor's ready to sponsor.
Okay, let me know what you need me to do. I'm back in New York tomorrow. Let me know what you need me to do.
The sponsor's ready to sponsor.
Okay. So we need to, what's the next step? That's all. Next steps for that. Okay.
That's coming soon.
Okay.
Again, go support.
Yes.
My peoples. Mm-hmm. Get those comedy come ups. Get those t-shirts. Get your shirts.
Yep.
Get your merch. Place your orders.
You see it? Free shipping.
Support my co-host. That's all I'm saying. Support my co-host.
It keeps the lights on. It keeps the lights on. That's all I'm gonna say.
Support the fam.
Yeah.
That's it. And we thank y'all for keep tuning in and showing us love, man. That's real.
You already know what's
happening. Happy birthday shouts to my cousin Ricky. It's his birthday today.
Ricky!
Happy birthday, fam.
I love you.
Ricky!
Yeah.
I did it like shout Boys in the Hood. You know, when Ricky got shot. Ricky!
Happy birthday to my guy,
happy birthday, homie. Tiff, what's up? I know you're working from home. Tell them where to find you. You're going to be home more often now, so they're going to find
you. More often. Yeah, they're going to find me now. So you can catch me on Facebook at Tiff Tonsil. You can also listen to me in the morning for the Morning Madness Show on WYWM Radio.
Hey.
And the new merch and the website should be coming very, very soon with the help of my my tech guy over here, Joe Hill.
We're gonna get her shit popping. Do you know JP is on the analytics side? He's trying to get, he's like the Wolf of Wall Street. He's trying to build up the Instagram analytics. He's also trying to build, you know, Tiff's algorithm up. So we are definitely working on the plan to get the website launched and all that good stuff. So stay tuned. But before I do that, go ahead, Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
No, finish. I was going to ask you a question. You may be saying what I was going to ask you about.
I'm going to say this. God is good all the time.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
If you are watching right now, let me just let you know how dope God is. The next couple of weeks are going to be fabulous. One, I'm back in New York tomorrow. I'm going to be with my sis Eva Evans this Sunday.
Eva.
Now.
Hey, Eva. She know the vibe.
I hate you. Eva Evans, first of all, Eva. One of the dopest Caribbean comedians in the game. She's hilarious. On VH1's Hustle in Brooklyn. She's another dope comedian. I'm going to be headlining her show at a secret location in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
So Jay, I know you got the brunch with Fran. You shout out to alumni.
I might pull up.
Here's the crazy part, though. This weekend is super crazy because K Smith and the gang, there's another situation. Shout out to the Social Corner Restaurant. That's about to be our new spot. When I say new spot, K Smith got it locked with the big homie Mel.
It's in Harlem, right?
No, that's in Queens, actually. That's on Merrick Boulevard. So that's like
in Queens.
But that's Sunday.
That's over by the airport. I know that Sunday is Sunday.
But I'm gonna be with Eva, and it's gonna be JJ Matisse. I'm gonna be headlining this Sunday. But that's not even the icing on the cake. Cause this is a triple layer cake right here. I'm just gonna lay it out for you.
Ooh.
I'm gonna be in Kansas City December 9th. Through the 13th.
Oh yeah, I saw that flyer.
I'm gonna be at the Comedy Club of Kansas City hosting a fabulous show with my sis Janelle Banks. She's recording her album. She's amazing. She's out of Houston, but she's representing for the Kansas City area. She's recording her album.
H-Town.
I'm gonna be in Kansas City. I'm trying to see what's good with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So you know, you might see some BTS while I'm out there. Just some Tyreek Hill. I got a plug.
Get the ring. You gonna get him with the ring.
Tyreek Hill. That's all. Listen, Jay, you know me with my sports team.
I know. That's why I'm serious. City.
I gotta get connect. Yeah. So that's that. Then I'm gonna be in Raytown, Missouri. Now Raytown, Missouri is like 10 minutes out. I'm headlining a Black-owned spot. Shout out to Legends Comedy Club in Raytown, Missouri. A lot of people don't know about this spot. It's a dope little spot. Shout out to them. My guy Kev is the owner of that spot. I'm going to be headlining there with my guy Emerson Striveson. So that's dope. But that's not even the icing on the cake. Should I keep going right now? I'm going to be in Virginia December 22nd through the 23rd, Virginia Beach Funny Bone. Christmas comedy jam with Timmy Hall, your man.
And Tony Bone is over. Timmy Hall, I like him.
And my girl Gina G. So the way we ending this
Gina's
year off,
funny.
Mm-hmm. I'm ending off with some banger shows, and I got a Christmas mixtape coming out called.
Oh, Joe, that's what I was gonna ask you.
Yeah.
Because I seen it, I heard it. You know, I've downloaded the Livid app, and I think all of y'all watching should too.
Yes.
Make sure you get the app.
I'm gonna get to that. Go ahead.
Okay, so go ahead, Joe.
But I'm gonna say this. I got another. I know I'm ending it with the crazy, but I really like my people to know what's happening and what's going on.
Yeah,
I got another project coming out called Jingles, Jokes, and Hoes. You know, if you've seen the cover, it's a Christmas art with the Santa hat with the little candy cane. That's really happening on Christmas Day everywhere. It's my third project since the pandemic started.
Yeah,
and I'm taking you back to the Adam Sandler Beastie Boy days of just use a fool. You're gonna get some stand up, but not a lot. But it's all about skits, voiceovers, and some special guests making some appearances on there. So that's that. But guess what? That's not even the icing on the cake.
Joe, you went from 3 to 6 layers, bro.
Look. This is the cake with the jelly in the middle, Tiff. You know the old school cake your grandmother used to make, and they used to put the jelly, the little strawberry. Colorado Springs. And this is it right here. This is my last one. I'm going to be in Colorado Springs January 8th through the 9th. That is the whitest city one of the whitest cities in America, and I'm bringing some of the blackest material to Colorado Springs. I'm serious. Colorado Springs is dope, and Colorado is one of the first spots to legalize marijuana, so I'm in it. Yeah. But no, that's it. I mean, I could leave you with the UGK going to Vegas, but we'll save that for next week. We'll save that for next week. But no,
yeah. When you get those dates, you gotta let me know.
So I will. Yeah, I appreciate my Livid people. My Livid people tapping in. Yes, Livid is a new platform that I'm on. It's not it's something I've partnered with. Yes, I'm getting paid to do it, and they benefiting, and we all winning together. I'm just gonna say it like that. I'm actually about to go on my guy Flawless's talent show and probably do a quick 5 to 10 on his. He usually has like 800K watching from around the world, different countries. And what we do is we bring content to y'all live. If you ever wanted BTS or reality TV, well, this is the new wave of reality TV. We on Livid. We stream multiple times a day, and pretty much we bring you behind the scenes of curators, artists. Sometimes there's people on there doing a bunch of stuff. So check out Livid. Shout them out. And yeah, you can find me everywhere. You know how we doing. We'll hear next Wednesday with a dope special guest, a couple special guests, and some drop-ins. When I say drop-ins, that's all I'm gonna say. We got this segment called Comedians Coming Through. Who's coming through?
Oh.
So I got some comedians that are just gonna be, for this small segment, coming through and, you know, gonna bring us some hilarity for a little bit. So look out for that starting next week and beyond. Comedians dropping through and saying what up and making us laugh, bringing more jokes to the Afterthought podcast. So that's it. Jay, we're going to talk. Tiff, we're going to talk. Tiff, yes. We got to get Tiff acclimated. We got to get her. We got to get her algorithm lit, Jay.
Yeah,
we do.
I gotta want to take pictures. I don't be wanting to take pictures.
Yo, you have a bunch of pictures on your Facebook. You gotta flood that on the gram.
And when you come to New York, or if we come to Syracuse, we gotta do a photo shoot. I got somebody that's definitely.
But it may be old. It may be old, but it's new to that. It's new to that demographic.
Yeah, I agree.
It's new to that demographic.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
It'll work for the time being.
Okay, we'll get it together.
But I think I agree, Jay. I'm with you.
It'll work.
I'm with you. It'll work. Well, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned, because what's going to happen in 2020 is we are going to be incorporating the Afterthought podcast on the road before comedy shows. That's right.
Yes.
And I'm going to give y'all some news right now. You ready?
What's up with that?
I'm filming a half an hour special in February in DC. That's right. I'm coming back to the native city. But this time we'll be at Bus Boys and Poets in Tacoma. So look out for that.
That's my spot.
And I would love to have the Afterthought podcast.
That's my spot.
Open up my special. So we go from the podcast to the two shows back to back, featuring Stiletto and some special secret guests.
What dates are those?
We're looking at February 6th right now. February 6th. I'm just waiting for the restrictions. You know how it is. My date's in there, but we just want to see how many people we could have. Because if I can have, you know, close to that 90 to 120, then we can get that podcast going early, like 5:30, and roll right into that first show. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just going to be two shows in the same night.
And so, don't worry, I'm gonna have brunch and after party lined up. You know,
Jay,
I'm
just gonna need you on that trip as an advisor. I'm gonna need you on that trip as a producing advisor.
You know when I'm in the DMV, how we lined it up.
It's the reason why I wanted to drop that last. Don't worry. So I got a little pad right here, and that was the very last one.
You got it, Joe.
I got a half an hour special. So we're gonna figure out a way to incorporate this in those cities that I'm going to have the podcast draw in. And, you know, we'll have special guests. We'll come through the show, and then we'll do the comedy show after. But I think it's time to start getting this podcast in front of the live shows, because when things open, I think that's a great pivot to have in terms of draw and bringing people out. You know what I'm saying?
I love live podcasting.
We talked about it, Tiff, back when we first started.
Yeah, we sure did.
And we got to go to Syracuse, Jay. I gotta do comedy. Once it open, things are different now in this comedy career. I think I can finesse us to get that, you know, a situation.
Especially in Syracuse. Everything is kind of cool.
We got Travis out there. Travis Blunt. Shout out to Travis Blunt. I know he's a phenomenal comedian and dope dude out there. So we're going to bring him on the podcast too, Tiff. I got you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Y'all be good. Y'all be great. Catch up on all the past episodes. AnchorFM.com. You can see the gang. Indeed. We come into your city. We come into your city. We're going to get the Afterthought podcast to Vegas. That'll be fire if we can do that.
That would be dope.
You know what I'm saying? Vegas,
DC, Atlanta.
So that's enough. That's enough. We gave y'all too much tonight, which is good because we want y'all to feel excited. We want y'all to know that we're doing something with this right now. So a lot is coming. Atlanta, Miami's coming. Like I said, Vegas. There's a lot of cities coming. DC, Baltimore.
Yo, when are you getting the jet? You just need to get a jet so you can.
Yo, Tiff. Tiff. Who do you? Who do we know? Who do we know I could lease one from? Let's start there. Let's just start with. You might be right. If the money's right and I can get it, let's do it, Jay. We on a jet.
I do know someone.
I'ma care for you. On that note, we out here. After a podcast. Love y'all. Love y'all. JP, Tiff, follow us. After a pod. We'll see y'all next week, y'all. Peace.
All right.